Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Just wanted to throw a little disclaimer on this episode. It is a hot takes episode, and
we just want to make it very clear that for the hot takes episodes, we are not trying to be academics.
Nope.
So the hot takes should be a little notation to you that we're not trying to teach people anything. We're just kind of having relaxed conversation with each other, sometimes with friends. Sometimes it involves academic research and research, but many times it's really just a chill hangout.
A chill time. This is four friends having a late night convo about conspiracy theories. It is entertainment purposes only. And I think it's pretty clear, you know, where we stand throughout the episode, but we're not conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. And
we're downright offended by some of these conspiracy theories. So please don't think that us talking about it is a way of trying to
legitimize
it all.
It's literally late night fun conversation between pals. I think it's a fun episode and I hope you guys enjoy it. But episodes like Hot Takes episodes, they are really just entertainment, relaxed chats for people that want to hear us talk about things other than art history.
Just things we find interesting and like talking about.
So enjoy. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history bay.
Hot takes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Ginny.
I'm Natalie.
And we are the art history babes.
We have another very special guest for you all today. Our good friend, Paul.
He just flew in from Mars.
I'm Paul.
Paul is here today to join us on our hot takes conspiracy theory.
Hot takes.
Episode. Yes. He is our resident conspiracy theory expert. He knows some things. He knows some things no one else knows.
Yeah, I know things that they don't want you to know.
Yeah, exactly.
But before we dive into that, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Paul?
Sure. I'm a graphic designer. I guess I'm an artist in some capacity.
He's a very good graphic designer. But, yeah. Selling himself short.
Above all, I'm your friend.
Aw, that was nice.
That is very true.
That was nice. So we'll link Paul's stuff onto our sources so you can see what a talented graphic designer he is. But as we said today, we're gonna connect things to art because conspiracy theories are a very broad topic. There's an insane amount to talk about. You could have a whole podcast on it. In fact, many people do.
There are
multiple podcasts dedicated entirely to conspiracy theories, but we're just gonna have a fun go of it and talk about some of our favorites and there's a few that have very clear connections to visual art, so we're gonna dive into those a little bit for you. But mostly, as we've talked about before, these hot takes episodes are just an excuse for us to talk about shit that we like to talk about, so here we are doing that. Without further ado, let's talk about some conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So, okay, before we get into the crazy ones that Paul believes.
I was going to say, let's hope Paul doesn't believe in this next one.
There are many people that deny the Holocaust happened.
Yep.
There are. And they call themselves revisionists.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
More sophisticated than deniers. And they're actually, like, well, okay, first of all, let me just say they're fucking idiots. But they're actually pretty sophisticated in the way that they operate because they...
That's all, like, good conspiracy theorists. Like, that's why they get as far as they do, is because they can talk about what they think in a sophisticated manner.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a ton of experience with conspiracy theorists, but, yeah, this one just kind of shocked me because they're academics. Like, these are people publishing books, and this one guy... just wait. Anyway. Okay.
Just wait.
Yeah, so they call themselves revisionists, and they're out to revise history. Really, they're just anti-Semites looking to change the narrative and make a more pro-Nazi narrative popular. A lot of them are academics, and they're really good at appearing legitimate. They have their own journal, and they founded an institute, and there's a publisher out there. I forget. I wish I had written down the name, but there's a publisher who Amazon recently banned all their books just last year, so that's
nice.
Good, but it took a while.
It does kind of take a while with Amazon, because I remember there was a whole thing.
I get them trying to maybe be a little bit, like, open. You know, you're like...
Free speech, yeah.
I understand the debate, these people, you guys.
I mean, I feel you. I'm like, free speech, too, but some people
oh,
just
no,
cross
I'm not saying,
the fucking line, you know?
I think this is definitely a hard line. So I'm glad Amazon did end up doing that. So in my research, I found this essay called A Brief Introduction to Holocaust Revisionism. And in my naive mind, I assumed it was a historian writing about revisionists. Like, look at these idiots. No. This guy is a revisionist. Oh. He also is a professor of electrical engineering at Northwestern. He still works there.
Whoa.
He works at Northwestern?
Yep.
That's disturbing.
Oh, yeah. He's still employed. Yeah. So his name is Arthur R. Butts.
Butts.
Yeah. it actually gets good there. So he wrote this essay, and it's just ridiculous. I got to read you the first paragraph because it's... I see three principal reasons for the widespread but erroneous belief in the legend of millions of Jews killed by the Germans during World War II. U.S. and British troops found horrible piles of corpses in the West German camps they captured in 1945, e.g. Dachau and Belsen. There are no longer large communities of Jews in Poland, and historians generally support the legend. Support the legend. He calls it a legend and a myth, like, all throughout this. They basically, what? He says that in Germany they were fighting typhus at the time, and so that's why they closed borders, and that's why they had people shave their hair and all of that when they first came in, because of typhus. They didn't want it spreading. Yep. And so then in the Allies actually caused the widespread death because they bombed the Germans' like food sources and roads, and so they couldn't care for the people at the camps anymore. The people at the camps were not they're blaming the Allies for that. The final solution that he says was never to exterminate the Jews. Yep says that. Oh, and hey, other guys wanted to move Jews too. Yep, he says the Russians were, then he says they were moving them, just relocating.
Wow.
And there's literally zero footnotes, you guys. Zero citations.
Of course.
There's nothing. He discredits witnesses and survivors. And one of his biggest arguments is saying, he basically uses the argument that how could no one stop this if it was actually happening? So he turns it on his head, on its head, and somehow acts like if this were really happening, people would have known.
People did know.
Yeah, everyone knew.
Exactly. So
it was everyone was well aware.
Which is one of the main arguments. This is my favorite thing I found on the internet. It's called Responses to Revisionist Arguments. Anyway, Simon Wiesenthal, he's awesome. I actually cited him in my thesis, and he's a Holocaust survivor and historian and author, and he's awesome. Yeah, so he just literally goes by point and responds to everything that the revisionists say.
Boom.
Revisionists say, and counters all of it. But this guy, this Butts man, Arthur Butts, he wrote a book called, get ready for this, The Hoax of the 20th Century, / The Case Against the Presumed Extermination of European Jewry.
Wow.
And Amazon carried this until last year.
Yikes.
So they don't sell it anymore, but the reviews are still up. And I found this one. Also, there were a lot of people giving it 5 stars and writing like lengthy positive reviews.
Yikes.
Skipped over a lot of those. But this one is great. 1 star. Complete fiction. I have firsthand experience. Coming from a family of Holocaust survivors, I have grown up hearing stories of lost relatives and heroic escapes which enabled them to survive. I also have seen the emotional scars left behind, such as my grandmother hiding food in every closet in the home, including under the bathroom sink. This book is a work of fiction, and these claims made by Mr. Butts claims only show he should get his head out of his butts.
Nice one.
Right?
Yeah. Well done.
So good. So that at least brought me some joy.
How disconnected from reality do you have to be to write an entire book?
Yes.
An entire book on something like this.
Exactly.
Like, writing a book is not an easy thing to do, no matter what it's about. Like how...
Northwestern had to make a public statement. I just found it.
Yep.
Being like, no.
Yeah. They didn't fire him, but they basically said we're embarrassed of him and his actions. And
he must have been tenure at that point.
Yeah. Why did they fire him? Like,
because you can, once you're on that tenure drag, you
I'm
really
sorry,
gotta do a lot.
But being a Holocaust denier should be
an exception. I agree.
Yeah, it was a little
scary. I know. Like, God.
So, my last little tidbit about these lovely people. So, in 1993, Dr. Deborah E. Lipstadt wrote a book. So, she is also a historian at Emory University in Atlanta. And she found out about the Holocaust deniers and very quickly, like, went to kind of look at their arguments. Very quickly realized they had nothing and they were just idiots. And as a historian, she was like, the best way to combat this is to write a book on it.
Yep.
So she wanted to expose them, wrote a book called Denying the Holocaust, The Growing Assault on Truth and Memory. Came out in 1993. In 1996, David Irving from the UK sues her for libel.
What?
These guys.
Part of her didn't want to fight it because it was just so absurd. But then she basically said that she couldn't look herself in the mirror or like look a Holocaust survivor or their children in the face if she like let this guy walk away technically like being right. So she fought him and they won. It took 6 years, but the judge found that Irving was an active Holocaust denier, that he was an anti-Semitic and anti-Semitic and racist, and that he associates with right-wing extremists who promotes neo-Nazism. So that's good, at least.
Yeah.
There was also a judge that had to proclaim in, like, 81 in the United States that the Holocaust is a fact, because that was something that had to be stated legally. But the good thing that came out of that is, because that was his finding, no one can come into court on any pretense that the Holocaust is not real. It's just...
because it's a legal ruling.
Yeah.
Like, that's good.
Yeah. All right, and that's all I got on these dummies.
Bunch of dumbos.
Bunch of dummies.
Yeah. Bunch of hateful dumbos.
Right? Yeah, the worst kind of.
Yeah, the worst kind of dumbos.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite on the list of responses is number 2, is that they say there's no proof that the Holocaust occurred. And his first sentence is, no crime in history has been as well documented as the Holocaust. Just like literally false.
So yeah.
The most false thing you could say.
Yeah. God. He just cut straight to the chase. He was like, actually. All right, and that's it.
All right.
There isn't more evidence for anything, basically.
Pretty much. Hey, Corey, are you still wearing contacts?
Oh, sometimes. I'm not a big fan of contacts. I mean, for one, my glasses are kind of like part of my identity.
I would agree.
But two, like contacts, they can be such a pain in the neck sometimes. But I do need them for like working out, mm-hmm. and they are definitely a necessity for me. And I really appreciate Simple Contacts for making the whole contact debacle much, much easier. If you're unfamiliar with Simple Contacts, it's an incredibly convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your favorite brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's super easy. You don't need to go to the optometrist to order new contacts. You go to their website. There are a few very simple tests. Check your eyes for redness and stuff like that. Make sure you can still see with your current contacts. They have an optometrist actually check out your stuff. And then you get lenses sent to your door. So super easy.
This is super convenient sounding.
Yeah, it is. They have great customer service. There's always someone to talk to if there's a problem. And then in addition to saving time, it saves you money. You pay $20 for your vision test, which compared with a regular appointment, like you're looking anywhere from, you know, $50 to $200. Mm-hmm. So that's already a steal.
Yep.
Also, lucky for you, with our Art History Babes promo code, you can get $20 off.
What?
Yeah. So that $20, gone. It's off.
Get $20 off of your contacts at simplecontacts.com/historybabes. That's History Babes, HISTORYBABES, or enter History Babes at checkout. Just a reminder, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. This is only to check your prescription. Get $20 off of your contacts at simplecontacts.com/historybabes.
Get some new contacts, but you still got to get your eyes checked, guys. Yeah. Because your prescription changes like every year.
Yeah.
I should know.
Corey knows.
I have very.
Trust her.
Very bad vision. Simple Contacts. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. So what's our next conspiracy on the docket?
The Denver airport.
The Denver airport.
I had no idea about this. And
this is a fun one.
To hear more.
Good one. This is a good one. Do you want to take it, Paul?
Yeah, yeah. In short, the Denver airport is like the top level of a underground base, like an underground government New World Order base.
And there are Illuminati.
Yeah. And there are clues all over the airport, including two very strange murals that I've seen in person.
They're fucking strange. I will admit,
they're very strange. I have them pulled up here.
There was a painting kind of like this at my college. It was supposed to represent the Inferno. It was like Dante's Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
In mural. Less
interesting
colorful.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, these are strange because I can't think of a reason
why they'd be in the airport.
Right? They would be in a public place, or what's going on with these? Who commissioned them? And
yeah. So there's a lot of interesting art at the Denver airport. So the murals that most often get cited, I'm pulling them up right now. Leo Tanguma, that is the artist's name. And they're kind of dark. Like, so there's one, Leo Tanguma, Children of the World, Dream of Peace. And there's like this really creepy masked, like militant figure. And it's stabbing a dove.
It does.
What the fuck?
To go back to the previous one.
What was that?
It does kind of look like an SS officer or something with like an eagle on his hat.
Why? This is the last thing that I would ever want to see before boarding a plane.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what a lot of people point out. It's like, yeah.
Even if there isn't anything else going on, no.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
It's exactly. Like a rainforest burning with animals dying and children.
Very apocalyptic imagery.
Trying to protect the animals.
Very dark apocalyptic
just
imagery.
Bizarre.
Why is the penguin in a box?
Why is a penguin in a box?
This little boy's clutching the squirrel like his life depends on it. This little girl looks like she's being buried alive. Oh, so does that one.
What's that buffalo's head doing? Is it coming out of it?
That's the commonest thing in the whole painting.
I know.
So, these paintings are in the Denver airport, which is not, you know, I mean, like a lot of airports actually have kind of stepped up their game in terms of like avant-garde art, but like this is like some dark shit.
Yeah.
Not something, you want to see before boarding a plane.
Honestly, I'd rather see some Jeff Koons than this.
That's saying something.
So true. And then also the sculpture outside, Blucifer, which reminded me of Goosefer.
Sure does.
From our George W. Bush episode.
Sure does.
So Blucifer is a sculpture that's outside of the airport, and it's of this creepy blue horse on its hind legs, and it has like red eyes, and it's big, and it's in a field, so it's just creepy.
Yeah.
Like, the whole look of it's creepy. And it also, while making it, the sculpture itself killed the artist.
Right, yeah, it fell on the artist.
This is dark. It wasn't even like it fell and like killed him with the impact. It cut an it severed an artery in his leg.
Yeah.
So he bled out.
Ouch.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, it's dark, man. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
so like why put that in front of the airport?
Yeah, right? Why be like, we're going to leave that up, you know? Like,
yeah
we'll
like,
just keep going.
Killed
with that.
A man, check. Looks terrifying, check.
Yeah, absolutely horrifying,
right.
Sculpture. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's something just like incredibly ominous about it.
Right.
You
yeah,
know, maybe,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know how anyone who was like in a position of like power in that situation
like,
could look at
approved.
The sculpture and be like, oh, that's welcoming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, you know,
so,
like,
Lucifer
yeah, right.
is legit
yeah.
terrifying.
Legit
imagine
creepy.
You're
yeah.
walking to your flight, you pass an SS officer killing a dove. you see like dead children in front of a burning rainforest, and as your plane is leaving the runway, you see this terrifying blue stallion with
yeah.
red eyes.
Not to mention, it says that their runways are shaped like a swastika.
Yes, yes,
the
they
fuck?
Are. So yeah, and also if you've been to the Denver airport, it is literally in the middle of nowhere. It's
right,
like
yeah.
super fucking inconvenient.
It's far from Denver.
It's
yeah.
very far from Denver. Like you have to kind of drive
yes.
way out there. And obviously, like, you're greeted by this terrifying...
By nightmares.
You're greeted by nightmares.
One after another.
Honestly, is this real? Because it's a photo of Lucifer's butt, and it's got red veins.
What?
Emanating out from its butthole.
What?
I don't think you can get that close to it, but...
Is it real?
I think
at your own risk, you can
real?
Get that close to it.
Look at this. What?
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's
Woof.
A weird sculpture, and
it's a weird airport.
I believe it, because look at the veins on his stomach.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, like, kind of speaking to the conspiracy surrounding all of this, like, and we'll get a little bit more into what people think it is, but imagine it's a post-apocalyptic situation, and you know, like, you want to be someplace protected. I mean, this is kind of almost going back millennia, like having some kind of terrifying protector
yeah.
sculpture, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Sure.
And granted, this one is absurd as shit, but
don't
like...
Don't fuck with Colorado!
For real! Also, the amount of money... So the airport in its current state, I think, was built in 94. And like $4 billion went into this airport.
That's part of the conspiracy. People wonder, what would you use so much money for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there must be more to the building that you see.
Mm-hmm. That's an absurd amount
yeah,
of money.
That's
a lot of money. And it does. It has a pretty complex system of underground, like a underground like train that people use to get to flight.
Which plays a great jingle, by the way, when you
does
get
it?
In. Yeah, there's like a little guitar thing.
Oh.
Down. Yeah.
But so there's like a complex like underground to this, which some people have taken and kind of ran with and said that there's like maybe like an underground city or like an underground lair or like an
yeah.
underground secret CIA head base.
I have some info here. It's twice the size of Manhattan and was $2 billion over budget. That's
Whoa.
Quite a bit.
That's pretty intense.
Over.
So weird.
Yeah.
There are statues of Anubis.
Natalie looks alarmed.
Wow.
There are like gargoyles that jumping out of suitcases, like these sculptures that are really high up.
What?
There are statues of Anubis.
Damn it, he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. It's just a little strange.
The inscription, like the dedication of the airport that was made in 94 when the airport was being finished, it is dedicated to, like, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's like New World Airlines or New World like Air something, which is really fucking weird because that's not a thing. Like, it doesn't exist.
Right.
It's never been an actual corporation or anything involving like air travel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it has the words New World in it,
right.
which is alarming.
It's so many things, though, that it's like, if there is something going on, why are they provoking so much?
Yeah.
Like, why are they
true.
Drawing so much attention? And Faith and I have a new theory that the real underground base is at a different airport that's much more inconspicuous and you would never know, and this is the distraction.
Dude, if we're smart, that would be like...
One of my favorite things about conspiracy theories is how the theorists like do things with numbers, like they get fixated on numbers.
Yeah.
So the airport was dedicated on March 19th, 1994, and if you add 19 to 1994, you get 33, the highest level one can achieve in Freemasonry.
Oh.
Oh shit.
That was intentional.
It's always intentional.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, this is one of them that, like, some of the theories are pretty intense and they get pretty detailed, and
some are really goofy.
Yeah.
But I've seen these murals in person several times and they're just bizarre.
Yeah. No, undeniably so. So is Lucifer. All of it is. Yeah.
There's something
definitely
bizarre
fucking weird
about this airport. That is just a fact. I mean, I like your guys' theory that it's just like a big, you know, false flag, basically. Like a big, like, attempt to make people think something's going on when actually it isn't. That would
Who's to say?
So the
who's to say?
The contractors for the airport say that the cost and size was because of an automated baggage system that is below the airport they never got to work, and that takes up a huge amount of space.
Yeah, and then they just apparently just,
they're like, well,
after spending, you know, millions of dollars, they're like, well, it just doesn't work. Like,
we'll just
what?
Leave it down there to petrify.
So, yeah, that's a weird one. I do think, like, from what I've learned, that something odd is going on
is
there.
Afoot.
Is afoot, but I don't know what it is. And I guess I don't know enough about, like, the Illuminati and the New World Order to, like, and Freemasonry to even, you know, speculate on those subjects necessarily. But I don't know. Some people think it's like going, like, it's going to be like an underground safe haven for like the elite when this like new world order is happening, basically, like when like there's a world, like there's going to be a new world war or like a
it'll
genocide,
be like a city for them to hide out in.
It'll be a city for the elite to hide in or something, who knows. I mean, it's twice the size of Manhattan, so I guess it's big enough.
Weird.
That's the Denver airport.
Yeah.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
What else you got, Paul?
Oh, man, I got a list here. Where do you guys want to go?
I know where I want to go.
Where do you want to go, Nat?
To the second favorite Paul in the room.
Oh, yeah.
We can jump to this one.
Technically, he's not in the room. I don't know why I said it like that. Our second favorite Paul.
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney is dead.
So this theory goes that the real Paul died in a car crash in the early 60s or mid 60s, like right at the height of Beatlemania when everybody was going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Beatles management and I guess like the record label thought that teenagers would, you know, like kill themselves and go crazy if they found out that Paul was dead.
Yeah.
So they found a lookalike and replaced him with a guy who looks just like Paul, but his ears are a little off. apparently, according to all these websites I found, they all seem to focus. All the comparison photos are of like pre-1964 Paul and post, and it's all about the ears. And I gotta say, I'm looking at the ears right now, and they're different.
It's compelling.
I can't argue.
Those are different ears. But to be fair, like in that second picture, he's got like all this hair, so there are like weird shadows going on.
True.
Also, ears get bigger the older you get. You know, like old people have really big ears because your ears.
The
grow.
Fake Paul's ear is smaller.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Actually, the real Paul's ear looks kind of like a fake rubber ear or something.
It does. The real Paul, quote unquote. Yeah.
The real Paul.
The real Paul's
Paul.
Ear is odd. That's an odd ear. But
it's too smooth, I think.
The new Paul?
The real Paul. I think the real Paul has like the perfect ear.
The real Paul does?
Yeah. On the left?
I think the real Paul's ear is weird.
It just looks so perfect.
The real Paul?
Yeah.
We're looking at the same picture.
Yeah, yeah. On the left is the real Paul. And on the right is fake Paul with his weird little ear.
I disagree. I think the real Paul's ear is weird.
Okay.
And the fake Paul has a better ear.
Sure. But can we agree that the ears are quite different?
Yes, we can. I mean, are there other arguments, though? What are some of the other arguments?
Well, I guess there are other, like, facial comparisons where they, like, line up the faces and, like, you know, draw cool lines. And,
and they're like, it's different.
They're like, things don't line up. Well, then there's all the stuff about, I don't know which record it's on. Is it if you play it backwards or something?
Oh,
but it says Paul is dead over and over.
Yeah, Paul
so that
dead.
Was kind of like one thing that fueled this theory. Was
dead,
everybody's
Paul
like, the other Beatles are trying to tell us that Paul died and they're just
trying to tell us.
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit? John Lennon responds to that in an interview. And they have I have a book that's like the final interviews with him and Yoko Ono. I didn't realize that there was a real conspiracy that Paul was dead, but they ask him about that song and he like basically says that it's stupid and that wasn't the intention, but I'm much more intrigued now
because of the ear.
All I'm saying is look at those ears
before you make any decisions,
right?
Look at the ear.
Yeah, something's fishy.
So people have said that about Avril Lavigne too, right?
What?
Yes. Yeah. It's like the exact same story, is that
she died?
She died and she was replaced by a lookalike.
Except I don't remember Avril Lavigne mania.
No.
And then
what was the consequence?
She married the lead singer of Nickelback.
Yeah, yeah. They're like a true power couple from Canada. They're like the most powerful couple in Canada.
So, I mean, I guess like... There was, I mean, nothing like Beatlemania, but there was like an Avril
Lavigne. Yeah,
they even have a name for her doppelganger, Melissa Vandella.
Well, yeah, there's also a name for Paul's.
Oh, what is it?
We,
they know
this.
His name.
Yeah, so apparently they held like a lookalike contest, and this guy won.
And then they're like, this is your life now.
This is your life now, and you can also do wings and all this weird bad stuff. That the real Paul probably wouldn't have done.
Maybe that's why he and John kind of had the falling out.
That's my, yeah.
I don't know. There are some things that are starting to make a lot of sense.
His name's Billy Shears.
Billy Shears, huh? Mm-hmm. And so how old was Billy when they found him and said, you're Paul now?
I'm reading this thing. I guess Ringo was really upset by it, and he was he was kind of head of putting the messages out. So
I was like, we gotta tell somebody.
Right. Yeah, I'm reading some like interview with Ringo where he says that they felt so guilty about the deception and they wanted to tell the world the truth.
Are you reading from the Time article?
I'm on Snopes.
Oh, just kidding. I'm on Time, but it's like,
oh, this
very
is really strange
thing.
Snopes says that it's true. I'm just kidding.
Wait, gotcha. Snopes says it's true.
Oh, Billy Shears was only supposed to last a week or two, but time went by and nobody seemed to notice, so they kept playing along. Billy turned out to be a pretty good musician and was able to perform almost better than Paul. The only problem is that he couldn't get along with John.
Oh.
Wow.
Interesting. Wow. So they found Billy while Paul was still alive?
They had a backup for all
this
the Beatles.
This is one of those things where there's not a lot of details.
Because I guess kind of my assumption was that they had this contest after Paul
died. Yeah, which maybe would not work out, you know, or maybe we're having this Paul lookalike contest for no reason. Please come by.
So, but if they, but why would they have done it ahead of time? Like, how would they have known that Paul was going to die?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Maybe all celebrities get a lookalike and... We don't know.
Maybe that's part of being in the Illuminati.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that you get a lookalike.
Right. just in case.
Just in case. And that lookalike gets a spot reserved underneath the Denver airport. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
because that's where you want to
go. Has a crypt spot, yeah.
Is the car accident, like, actually documented? Like, was there a real car accident, or is that kind of just speculation, too?
I think it's all documented, and if you look hard enough, you'll find every detail.
All that you're that looking you're wondering for. I think all the answers are documented clearly.
Yeah. This just says, car crash on November 9th, 1966, after an argument during a recording session. I don't know.
So he was upset.
That's it. He was upset.
He got in the car and
not in a state
crashed
to drive. Yeah.
And then he crashed and died. What if the argument was about the Paul lookalike? What if he wasn't on board for, like,
right,
the Paul lookalike?
So, like, well, we'll just speed
it's
this
not
up.
It's a bad gig, I don't think. Yeah. Yeah, well, just look at the ears is all I'm saying about this one. That's my final
final thoughts. Just look at the ears. There's full documentaries on this, too. I know I've seen one. Yeah. They're out there. So if you're interested,
they're out there.
You could definitely check those
hours
out.
Hours of footage.
Yeah, like hours of people picking.
Hours of ear comparison.
That's really all it is. Just ears. Just close-ups of ears. Right. The next one I want to talk about that you listed, Paul, the Mandela effect.
Yeah,
this one has been big
is
and
fun.
This one's trippy.
Because I feel like, well, I'll just explain it. So this is the Berenstain thing. Is it an A or is it an E?
Is it the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain
Bears? Right, and I remember it with an E. I actually do, but it's not true.
I actually do
remember that. Well, maybe that means you're from the alternate universe.
Yeah,
Paul.
I'm in the wrong one, obviously.
Yeah. You got mixed up. You got right. You crossed over somewhere.
Yeah, I got in a car crash in 1966. Here I am.
So the Mandela effect, for those of you that don't know, this hit the scene a couple years back with the Berenstain thing. All of a sudden, everyone was coming forward and they were like, all right, everybody, I need you to go back in your child minds. Was it Berenstain or Berenstain Bears? And not everyone, but the majority of people are like, Berenstain. It was the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Berenstain. And then you go and you look at your book and it's spelled Berenstain. And everyone's mind was blown.
My theory is that it was always Stain.
But we pronounced it wrong.
Well, I think that Stain is not a common ending for somebody's last name, but Stain is.
Yeah.
So right. We all think, well, why would it be Berenstain?
And we just
right. Obviously Berenstain.
Yeah, I totally thought my feelings are exactly the same. It was like a cultural thing. It was just, we just said Berenstain and then it just went from there and everyone was like, it's Berenstain.
Yeah.
It's Berenstain. Even though it said Berenstain. We said Berenstain.
Right.
That is how I think about it too. That being said, this is called the Mandela effect because there are other examples of stuff like this happening. Most notably, there are a huge number of people that distinctly remember Nelson Mandela dying in the early 90s. They like have distinct memories of his death.
Right.
And then he died a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that are like, I swear to God he was dead.
Right.
And so that's where it gets the name Mandela effect. And there are a few other examples. Those are the two most well known. And the underlying idea, which is fascinating, and I actually really love the underlying conspiracy, is that it has to do with almost like a glitch in the Matrix. Like, it has to do with a crossover of alternate, like, dimension. So basically, if you believe, and you know, there is some science or scientific theory, like, not science, like, scientific proof, but like there are scientific theories about the case for multiple dimensions, essentially, that, like, at this very moment that we're existing, there are infinite dimensions where everything else that could possibly be happening is happening, mm-hmm. right? And the idea was that there was some kind of a mix-up in the dimensions and, like, the...
They, like, split, or I'm not sure why that would happen, or...
Yeah, so basically, if you are someone that has a memory of it being Berenstain, that is actually a crossover of like a memory from another dimension, mm-hmm. where it is Berenstain. Mm-hmm. Or if you are someone that has a memory of Nelson Mandela dying in the early 90s, that's like a weird crossover from a dimension where that actually happened. And
I like that the difference between two full like dimensions is one letter in a children's book title.
That's it. That's the one difference.
That's it.
I'm getting all of these wrong. I'm on a website for all of the examples, and I'm getting like every single one wrong.
Are you from a completely different dimension, Natalie?
No. I don't know. Maybe they're just playing me.
What are some other ones?
Forrest Gump. Was it life is like a box of chocolates or life was like a box of chocolates?
Life is.
Is.
Was.
Oh.
What?
Yep.
That's like literally my favorite movie, so that's not
the color.
Life is
not
like
in this
a
dimension.
Box of chocolates. You never. It's life is.
It's that's not what they say. The color chartreuse.
I'm gonna go watch Forrest Gump immediately.
They have a YouTube clip of it. Chartreuse. Is it red or green?
Green.
I thought it was red. Just wrong. You guys are right. It's green. It's like a yellow green. Apparently, I totally thought it was a red. Looney Tunes or Looney Tunes? Tunes being spelled like music or. T-O-O-N-S.
T-U-N-E-S.
I haven't done this one yet, so we'll find out.
T-O-O-N-S.
Oh, tunes.
Nope.
With
a
U.
Oh.
No, tunes.
Okay.
No?
Well, this is complicated.
Here we go.
Paul's technically right, but it looks like that in the updated version, they have Tiny Tune, which is spelled O-O.
Yeah, that's, Tiny Tune.
Those fuckers.
But Looney Tunes is spelled with U.
And the thing about this, the Mandela effect, like, so all those examples, I honestly think are probably just like things we just mixed up, you know, like those are like, I think, less powerful examples. I do think the main two, especially like the Mandela effect, like why
that's
so
a little
many
weird.
People distinctly remember him dying.
Yeah,
you know?
like they saw it on the news or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
What's that about?
Another one I've heard of is, and this one I don't think is the Mandela effect. I think this is just a false memory. I think this is basic psychology, because like you can create memories for yourself. A lot of people, so they would be probably Gen Xers that were in elementary school during the Challenger launch, have distinct memories of watching that launch on TV in class. That didn't happen.
Was never televised.
It was, but that did not happen in like barely any.
Yeah, TVs weren't in schools yet.
TVs weren't in schools yet. It was not a thing.
Most
really.
People listen to it on the radio, right? Like most people didn't even watch it on TVs.
Exactly. There was footage of it because that did happen, but the idea that kids in elementary school were watching it, like that's a false memory. Mm-hmm. That didn't actually happen. And a lot of people like that were elementary age at that time think that happened.
Right.
Like they remember seeing it, and that's just like a false memory implanted by society, you know? It's crazy. But that has also been cited as the Mandela effect.
Right. That's just people being dumb.
It's spring and the weather's nice and it's gonna be summer soon, so I'm trying to be fit, more fit than I am, which isn't a lot. So I'm trying to run. And because of that, I need a deodorant that can keep up with me.
Have you found one, Jenny?
I have. It's Secret Active.
Secret Active.
Stays fresh all day. It keeps me odor-free, sweat-free.
Secret Active uses sweat-activated technology. It has odor-neutralizing molecules to trap odor, lock it away, and then replace it with fragrance. And it works all day long, so you don't have to be reapplying your deodorant all the time, because you're good, you're fresh, you're clean.
Once in the morning, and you're good to go. A couple swipes, one armpit, the other, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
In fact, Secret Invisible Sprays give you 48 hours of freshness while protecting against odor and sweat.
So you don't have any of those white marks all over your stuff either. Secret Active. Pick it up at your local deodorant store today.
find ye local deodorant show.
It'll be there.
It's there.
But the Mandela effect is interesting. Because this actually relates to, I brought this up, and I don't know very much about this one. I literally just learned about it today. I've been, like, researching conspiracy theories all day. This dude, John Titor, T-I-T-O-R, He was that was a name that was on frequented some message boards in the early days of the internet, circa like 2000, like late 90s to 2000. And so very early days of the internet. And he claimed to be a time traveler from the year 2036. And it was like this really big thing because he would get in like very detailed conversations with people. He was like all over these message boards for a very long time. And he predicted a lot of stuff. And some of it kind of came true. Some weird stuff there. And his whole thing on these message boards, like there's no proof of who he actually was. Like you can't really trace something like that. But he explained that he was actually, like, the way time travel worked, it's not like he was from our future. He was actually from the future in, like, an alternate dimension that was similar,
right,
but different. And he came to our dimension before and our dimension at this time. And he said, like, with time travel, you can't travel. Like, I think the extent of time you could travel was, like, 30 to 60 years. You couldn't go back farther than that or else it would cause too many problems.
Right.
And,
but if you're from a different dimension, what does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know, man. So
maybe he's just fucked up other dimensions so bad that there he's like, can't really do that again.
Weird ones up there.
So he kind of touched on the Mandela effect, basically, in on these message boards, like talking about how in time travel or interdimensional travel, there's just slight differences that happen throughout these different dimensions. Yeah. So some conspiracy theorists, you know, cross over like the Mandela effect and the predictions of John Titor.
Does he have any that we're still kind of like waiting to see?
Well, so he had this prediction. He predicted it was going to happen in 2013, which it didn't, but it's still kind of scary and relevant. He predicted that he said there was going to be a civil war and that there was a continued, like, this really intense divisiveness that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was going to end up being necessary because it was going to, like, make things better for the future.
Sure, yeah.
And, like, so vague things, but things that still kind of resonate, you know?
Yeah.
What were some of the things that this was before 9/11, actually, and there was apparently a post where because he was from another dimension, right? So obviously he was from a dimension where 9/11 didn't happen. And this was before 9/11 actually happened. That's the weird thing. He was like, what? He says something along the lines of, like, what happened to the buildings, or like, what happened to the towers or something, which is super vague and weird. But that also was posted before 9/11 actually did happen. Creepy.
John Titor.
Yeah.
And this was on like the Nickelodeon kids forums, right?
I don't know. I literally watched a video on it today. So I'm like, no way. Like, this could all, like, this is all most likely crazy bullshit. But like,
no, I've heard this one. Yeah. I just don't know that much about it.
But it's like if you're interested in conspiracy theories, he's someone to look into more, just because it's like, what?
Right.
Like, who was this person frequenting these message boards and like saying all these things? So yeah, I mean, it's whatever. And then let's see. Oh, I wanted to hear about, you mentioned about Alex Jones's recent appearance on Joe Rogan. I want to hear about this.
Great. I'm not a big Joe Rogan fan.
I'm not either.
I can't really get behind his whole, like, character.
Yeah. I can't either,
like,
man.
Don't
There's
identify
things about
with
what he's doing I definitely appreciate, but I just am not crazy about him.
Yeah.
Is he the guy that used to host Fear Factor?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Nailed it.
Now he has a show, a radio show, and he has,
like, the biggest podcast.
Yeah, it's like the biggest podcast ever.
Yeah. So what's great about his podcast that I really do appreciate is he does give a platform to all sorts of people.
Yeah.
He just, like, will give a platform to anyone that has something to say, and that I think is cool.
And he, like, doesn't let them get away with saying whatever they want. Like, he's had alt-right people on there, and he's, like, grilling them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's also a video component, so, like, you can see these people, they're, like, I regret being on this show. Like, they're like, why did I do this?
Yeah, and he does get into very deep conversations, and he's very real, I think. He says what he thinks.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't personally really care that much what Joe Rogan has to say a lot of the time. But I do respect what he's doing, and, like, I do understand why people like it.
Yeah, I think he's intelligent. He's one of these guys who, like, is always talking about psychedelic drugs, yes, and like how they're going to save the world. And that I get kind of tired of hearing, like,
mm-hmm,
people on podcasts do that because it's such a common thing to hear. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been listening to podcasts for like years and there's been so much of that.
Yep.
It's also, I think, like, drugs are fascinating and they're really interesting, but like it's a cop out not pay attention to the like dark side of them. It's like, sure, oh, it's gonna, psychedelics are gonna save the world. Like, that's just like a really right, intense position to,
yeah,
take.
It's like, yeah, it's totally on the one side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, and you're right, his podcast does get deep and it gets really out there. I don't listen to it like regularly, but if he has a good guest, you know, sure, I might, yeah, listen to it. So everybody probably knows who Alex Jones is, right? He's the InfoWars guy.
Oh, Alex Jones.
I mean, he's actually like a, man, real asshole. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He kind of popularized the idea that like Sandy Hook was a fake thing.
Right, yeah.
And he was a big like Trump fan or something. I don't know how he was connected to Trump.
Fan is like, because I don't know if Alex Jones is a fan of anything.
Right. I think Alex Jones is probably like a psychopath.
Yeah.
Who is just, you know, out for himself, and he'll say whatever if, you know, people will buy more like InfoWars supplements and,
yes, exactly,
like male vitality formula and,
yep,
stuff like that. So, Alex, Joe Rogan had Alex Jones on his show, and Joe Rogan has this like guy who's on the show sometimes named Eddie Bravo, I think, and he's like a big conspiracy head, but he's like really serious. Like, okay, I'm not that serious. I think conspiracies are really entertaining,
yeah,
but Eddie Bravo, he's a 9/11 guy. There,
okay,
you go. Perfect,
I think that's
example.
The, got it. Like, I, okay, with conspiracies, my attraction to them, and I love talking about them, and I spend way too much time watching YouTube videos on them, is because I really appreciate the impulse. I appreciate the impulse that says question everything.
Right.
And like,
yeah,
and it can lead you to really fascinating places.
Totally, yeah.
And I think that's important, and I like that. And I like that it makes me question just like basic things sometimes.
Yeah.
That being said, anyone that is super serious about conspiracy theories, it's like, you've gone too far. So,
yeah.
You know, like, you
have to... I
love
how, like, wild they can get and entertaining they can get, but I think the allure of conspiracy theories is that they answer a really big question in a really simple way.
Yeah.
And
that's just what... People just want their questions,
exactly,
answered, and they're not comfortable with the fact that some things aren't answerable.
Right, right.
And it's... That's why people get so invested,
yeah,
in conspiracy theories, is because it's like, oh, this is the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a huge blanket statement that goes beyond conspiracy theories. But I think whenever you think I have the answer to everything, like, you're wrong,
right,
you know,
that's like always,
that's just not
incorrect position.
Yeah, it's, yeah, always incorrect. No matter what standpoint you're coming from,
right,
you're wrong. Like, that's just not the way it works. And conspiracy theorists, like the really deep conspiracy theorists, that's what they,
yeah,
think.
They're like, I have all the facts.
I,
you
have,
know,
it.
There's,
I figured,
no,
it out,
other answer. Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know it. I know,
right,
what happened.
So Joe's friend is like a real conspiracy guy. And so immediately Eddie is like grilling Alex Jones, like, what's really going on? Like, you've talked to Donald Trump. Like, what's going on in the government? Like,
oh, no,
tell me about the moon. Tell me about this.
Oh, no.
And so,
tell me about the moon.
They give like Alex like this little glass of whiskey, and they're all like sipping whiskey, and then they pass around a joint, and you can see like Alex is pretty fucked up.
Oh God.
And then Alex is like, "All right, guys, you want to know what's really going on?"
Oh no.
And they're like, "Yes, yes, we've been waiting for this." So Alex Jones talks probably for like 5 minutes, just like without stopping. And
no breaths.
The basic, I have it typed here because
I've read this sentence.
The basic
like 10
idea
times.
Is that interdimensional energy vampires who feed on fear are being incarnated in human bodies on Earth to establish pedophile rings to harvest the fear that they feed on. And that's what's going on.
There it is.
There it is.
Hey guys, let's not profess to know everything. You could be right.
So that's like classic, I guess, base of like so many conspiracy theories,
goodness,
is that
that's just so convoluted,
the elite,
in
like,
so many ways.
Feed on fear, and that's why they're evil, and that's like their goal, right? Is to like cause fear and mayhem.
Where does the pedophilia come in? Like, I don't even I guess understand. It's like,
where does half of that stuff come in? I don't see the origins of any of it.
Oh, he's right. Such a crazy person.
Yeah.
Fucking
and insane. Everybody's like silent. Like, he spouts all this stuff and it's like, everybody's like, whoa.
Like, we didn't know you'd take it that far.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's it.
Too many supplements.
Yeah, if you're interested in seeing that on YouTube, there are like some really great funny edits of that whole segment of the show.
I definitely want to see
that. And like, you can tell he's like stoned and drunk. And like, a few weeks after that episode aired, Alex Jones went to court to like get custody of his children. Like, he's battling his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I think his wife showed this video of like him holding a joint and he's like, interdimensional space vampires. And I think he didn't win.
Yeah, what a moron for letting them videotape him.
Just, right.
Oh, even if he hadn't said that crazy.
So bad. So like, yes.
She probably paid Joe Rogan to do that. She's like, Joe, slip him a joint.
Oh my God, that's something. Okay, I'm excited about this one. The government experimenting with psychedelic drugs.
Yes, MK Ultra.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's actually documentation for this.
Yeah, there's a documentary on Netflix that I watched about this, where they slipped acid to a scientist who like jumped out of a hotel window.
So I guess the only thing that we don't know about MK Ultra is like the extent of the experimentation and how many people and what happened and the results. But conspiracy theorists say that people were like reprogrammed by drugs that the government developed to like be assassins. They say that about Lee Harvey Oswald. He was like an MK Ultra experimentee, and they like programmed him to kill JFK. This is Stranger Things is based on MK Ultra.
That makes sense.
That right. does make
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
How was Charles Manson involved?
I guess he was like a
another recipient.
Yeah, basically like anybody who did something really weird or like horrible, conspiracy theorists will say they were like an MK Ultra, you know, damaged person.
Interesting. I mean, I guess Charles Manson spent a lot of time in prison.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's a good point.
But why, like, he didn't, any, all the stuff he did didn't have any connection to the U.S. government, you know? Like, he was kind of off the grid during all the craziness.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, I'm sure there are, like, books that connect the dots. I don't know much about this one, but I do know that Stranger Things was based on it, and that there's, like, some fact to it.
Yeah, I know that there's documented cases of the government, like, experimenting on people with like psychedelic drugs, which is something they don't want us to know. But like, just the fact that we found that out and that we know that, I feel like stuff like that almost makes other conspiracy theories hold less weight, because like the ones that we have found out about, like if we can find out about that, you would think we would have found out that, you know, the earth is flat, you know what I mean? Like if they can't keep this hidden, what makes you think they can keep all this other shit?
I'm not sure why documents on this one were released, you know? I don't know if it was like a Freedom of Information Act thing or what.
Yeah.
Some angsty scientist.
Right.
Fuck y'all, I'm going to release
it. Yeah.
That's how it happened in my head.
And then, okay, I'm like really excited to talk about this one. We've talked about this before, Paul. Simulation theory.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's entirely conspiracy. Like, it's really more of a theory.
Yeah,
but
I just put that one on there because it's kind of like, this one's kind of fun to think about. I mean, I guess it's not a conspiracy theory, but
It's a theory.
So I guess where people may have heard about it is when Elon Musk tweeted something about it, or he was like interviewed and said that he thinks there's a high chance we live in a simulation.
Yes.
So it's been an idea for a long time in philosophy, the idea that we live in like a fake world. And I guess like Gnostic Christianity, that's like their basic idea, is that we live in some like falsely constructed world, you know, by some outside force or whatever. So a few years ago, this philosopher named Nick Bostrom wrote a paper, and it kind of popularize the idea of like the probability that we live in a simulated universe. So his paper says that at least one of the following statements is very likely to be true. Statement number one is that virtually all civilizations at our pace of development will go extinct before they reach the capability of creating a simulated reality. The second statement is that civilizations with those capabilities are not interested in doing that. And the third statement is that we almost certainly live in a simulation. So the paper kind of talks about the probability of each one of those events. And in short, with the universe being so large and so old, the chances of a civilization reaching a point where they could simulate reality is high, just because there's been so much time and there's so much room for a civilization to grow that far. We're interested in making like video games and stuff.
We
so
do make simulations.
Why
yeah,
wouldn't you know. Somebody do that? But I guess even if we live in one, like you still have to go to work and stuff tomorrow. So,
dude, that is how I feel about it too. I think we've had this conversation before. Yeah. Like, so I think simulation theory is entirely plausible. Like, it's just as plausible as every other theory about like why we're here. You know, like, and when you look at just things like The Sims, like they're simulated realities of people like, living their day-to-day life.
If we could make a realistic one, we would.
Yeah, exactly. And
totally.
And who's to say that to whoever made this simulation, we're not just fucking Sims. You know what I mean? So I think, and it does, like, I'm actually glad you brought up Christianity because I've thought about this a lot, and that theory does align with like a lot of religious beliefs.
Yeah, it does.
Because if that would mean we have a creator, you know?
Right.
If
and
we
you're,
are a simulation, something created.
Yeah,
us.
You're in a world that isn't the base level of reality. You're like in some constructed.
Something created. Right. Yeah. But I totally agree. It's like, because I had this conversation with someone. I was like, what do you think about Elon Musk and simulation theory? And he was like, what if it came out that that was true? And I was like, what if it came out that it was true? Like, it wouldn't
change. What would you do?
Yeah, it wouldn't change our day-to-day life. Yeah, like, you would wake up in the morning and you would live your life.
You'd still have to do your stuff.
You'd still have to do things. And especially if we had no way of communicating with whoever created us. Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It's as good of an answer as any.
Right. Like, yeah. It's fun to think about, but
it's also crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But
crazy.
I don't know what I would do if it was true.
Yeah. So that's something to think about. Once again, not even necessarily conspiracy theory, just a theory, because I don't think anyone claims that 100% to be true.
Well, yeah.
Sure,
well, maybe the guy who
there.
Wrote the paper. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably some people out there that are like, this is fact. But most people that have talked about it talk about it as a theory, the same way like multi-dimensional realities theory. And then that, I think, probably connects to the hottest take conspiracy theory that is happening right now. It's kind of all over the place. In fact, I read recently that like searches on Google have just skyrocketed on flat earth theory.
Flat earth theory.
Fucking flat earthers.
So before we start, the other day I was driving into my neighborhood and there was like a big white stripe coming up over the sky, you know, like a jet, whatever. And it was like going straight across over my head, or it looked like it was going straight up. And it was like 2 days after that SpaceX thing that they did down in LA.
That
so
was
my first reaction was just like, oh, what is that? Because in my mind, I was like, shit's happening in the sky. What is that? And Matthew looks at me and goes, it's a plane. The earth is round. Says it like so bluntly. And I was just like, oh, okay. And I feel dumb.
So flat earth theory, I'm sure you've heard about it recently because in the past just couple of years even, a lot of celebrities have come out as flat earthers.
Yeah.
B.O.B. was the first like big one. Mm-hmm. And Tila Tequila.
She just needed a reason to be talked about again.
It's so true. And Kyrie Irving, which is a bummer. They've kind of just like stuck by flat earth theory. So much so recently B.O.B. started a Kickstarter.
Yep.
And I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. He's trying to get people, and people are donating money
to research the cause.
He wants to send some kind of something. Here, I have the link.
I read about this guy like 2 weeks ago who was building his own rocket so he could shoot himself up into orbit and check it out.
Check it out.
He's building it himself, like he doesn't need money to do it.
Yeah, for some reason he's like independently cool. wealthy and
just wants to just check it out.
He wants to be a rocket man.
rocket man. Yeah, so his GoFundMe, well, he's made, so far, he's made $6,893 of his $1 million goal. Mm-hmm.
It's expensive.
And he wants to launch weather balloons and satellites into
space. Show B.O.B. the curve.
Because he wants to see the curve.
Right.
That's his main thing. He's like, where's the curve?
He doesn't have enough money to get in a plane, literally any plane, and just look out the window.
I feel like he hasn't had a song that's been good. It's been out in a while.
So right? I was thinking about this on the way here because I was listening to a podcast about Flat Earth. It's Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. It's How Stuff Works podcast about conspiracy theories. It's really great. They do a great job. And it's, I think, really good at exploring these as interesting, but also debunking them in a lot of ways. And they do a two-parter on Flat Earth. And I was listening to that on the way here and thinking about this and these people that have popularized it, and dude, B.O.B., like, his number one song was fucking called Airplanes.
Sure was.
It was about flight in the air that would not be possible if our understanding of physics was all wrong.
Can't you just go, like, straight up and then across and then come back down on a flat disc? Right? I mean,
can't you just hover?
Yeah. I don't see the issue with that. Do flat earthers believe that there's like an edge and there's like an end?
Yes.
The government's hiding it from us.
Well, yeah.
So essentially they believe that the earth is flat, obviously, and there is what is known as the firmament, which is like a dome, like Truman Show style, like a big dome on the earth.
Right.
And the way the earth, the map is spread out, it actually, the thing is, the flat earth map looks like a standard like UN map looking at the top of the earth, because according to a flat earth map, the center of the map is the North Pole, and then the outside of the map.
How do they explain the South Pole?
That's the edge. Okay, so imagine a UN map, like an actual map that's just trying to give you a two-dimensional vision of looking at the Earth from the top, from the North Pole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking down and they're splaying out the map for you of the actual Earth, you're going to have the North Pole in the center, and then the South Pole is split around the edge, right?
Yeah, so none of them have been to the South Pole is what I'm gathering.
Well, not a lot of people have. That's part of their argument.
Definitely no flat earthers.
But that's part of the argument. So the South Pole is the edge. And what a lot of them believe happens at the edge is there's a giant wall of ice that is blocking us from what is on the other
side. From the wildlings.
Right.
Yeah, it's blocking us from what's on the other side. What a lot of flat earthers think is our like creator is on the other side.
Wow. So there's a whole like...
The king.
I want to say like biblical aspect to this.
For some, not all of them. Sure. But for some, there is. There's this weird, like, religious aspect to
it. Yeah. So, like, B.O.B., can I just call him Bob?
Please do.
Bob wants to, does he want to go to the wall, or he just wants to?
He just wants to see the curve.
He just wants attention.
But he thinks there's no curve. So
he wants to get shot up in outer space.
Yeah, B.O.B., I think that a lot of the celebrities are more, like, because both B.O.B. and Tila Tequila, their, like, main thing have been, like, show me the curve. Where's the curve? Show me the curve. And then their, like, argument doesn't really go any farther than that.
Right.
But a lot of, like, I've gone pretty deep into Flat Earth Theory because what I enjoy about it and find fascinating is, like, of all the conspiracy theories, this one goes, like, the deepest. Like, people get so into it. There are endless documentaries. I've watched several
of them. I've watched a few, and the thing that's amazing to me is, like, I can't argue with any of these points.
Yeah.
They're actually, like, kind of, like, these weird, like, paradoxical points that they make.
Yes. And the thing is, that is kind of the art of the flat earther.
Yeah.
Is they're really good at debate and making things, highlighting things as important that make you stop and think, well, maybe everything I have learned is false, you know? It's become this really, like, kind of powerful thing, and it's also really fascinating because flat earth theory, like, is the earth flat, is the earth round, is something that has resurfaced throughout all of human history multiple times, and it's always happened at big, like, almost like paradigm shifts. It happened
like
at
political moments.
Yes. So the Industrial Revolution, the Protestant Reformation, these big shifts that change humanity. Those are also times where people were like, there's this flat. And it's complicated too, because there's a lot of false history that flat earthers use to make their point. Like the idea that a lot of people believe that the earth was flat in the Middle Ages is false. There is documentation that we were believing in a spherical earth all the way back to Aristotle. But flat earthers are going to go to these arguments about the Middle Ages. They're going to go to arguments about the Protestant Reformation and claim that this is all this big cover up by those in power to keep us from the truth. And so it's like, to an extent, they're train of thought and their argument is kind of sound because it's already based on false information, but it's based on false information that a lot of people think isn't necessarily false.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it is this really complex thing, and it's just skyrocketed. More and more people believe in flat earth, and more people are just interested in it. And now, last year, there was just a Vice just did a video on it. Recently, there was the first Flat Earth conference that happened. And it was a lot of people getting together and talking about why they think the Earth is flat. And like, there was some dude who sells like maps of the Earth that's flat with like the firmament, like the dome. Like, he sells these models to people. And it's interesting, too, because they interviewed some of the people, and, like, there's this one woman, and she was like, it's just really nice to be around people that, like, understand me and believe what I have to say, because whenever I talk to people about this, like, they don't believe me. And so, like, in that sense, I was like, oh, like, because yeah. I want, you know, I obviously always want everyone to feel like they can share their ideas and stuff and like that they belong somewhere. So like it kind of like hit me like on this like personal level, but at the same time, it's just a very complicated thing to try and approach because so many of the people that believe in flat earth theory, I think, are really more, it comes from a place of being angry about like power structures. Mm-hmm. And disenfranchisement, you know, maybe not the most active way to tackle those issues, because at the heart of flat earth theory is the idea that there is this giant conspiracy of those in power that are trying to keep us from the truth, right? And I don't know, to me, that just seems like believing that in itself is like giving away your power. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like you're giving away your power because you literally believe millions of people
right.
have been conspiring against you.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like for this basic piece of human
yeah.
knowledge.
It's like you never had power in the first place.
Exactly. Like, you yeah. never had any individual True. Power. Like, so in a way, I guess maybe I
am a flat earther.
No, I'm maybe I am a flat earther. No. I like feel for flat earthers in a way, I guess, which is hard. Like, it's a hard place to be in because, like, I obviously don't believe, like, I don't agree with what they're saying, but I kind of understand the impulse
mm-hmm.
to follow, to go down that rabbit hole.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of really smart people have. A lot of very intelligent people have gone down this rabbit hole. And so, like, I understand the impulse. And so it makes me feel like, I don't know, connected to them in some way. And
well, in the scheme of things, like we talked about Holocaust deniers earlier, like it's a fairly harmless belief system, right? Like
at this point, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's true.
It could develop into something more, but yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't. But at this point in time, it's
fairly harmless. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But there's a ton on. There's so much on.
There's
the
a lot out there.
There's so much out there. So if that is something that interests you, you will have no problem finding right. information on that one.
Oh, conspiracy theories. I don't think I realized how many, like, contemporary
mm-hmm. There's so many theories more. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I think we
more.
Barely touched the surface.
Oh, no, I figured that. But still, we went through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We touched on a lot. Like, we could have easily done episodes on, like, every single one of these. And we didn't even, like, I wanted to hear about Hollow Earth theory. I don't even know about that one.
Maybe that can be a Patreon bonus.
Patreon bonus, Hollow Earth theory. Yeah, we didn't talk about the moon landing. We didn't really talk about right. JFK. Oh, there's so many. But yeah, conspiracy theories.
They're out there.
They're out there. They're fun. They're interesting.
Entertaining.
They're entertaining. Yeah. They make you think about things in weird ways. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Lucifer.
The horse of my nightmares.
That's all I gotta say.
Me too.
Same.
Good night. From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history
babes. Do you know what they call
super scary
slime in the UK? Like the Nickelodeon style slime? Gunge. Oh, yeah, gunge. Gunge time live.
Oh, that sounds dirty.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Disgusting.
That
sounds really
gunge dirty. Time
The Art History Babes podcast is made possible by support from our lovely listeners via Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/arthistorybabes to help keep the Art History Babes going and for access to bonus content.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.